Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Corinthians with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 14, ending in chapter 11, verse 1, where we pick up from last week's study and we see how to avoid falling into sin, as so many have, and how do we stand with just a few. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14.
There's a bit of a burden here. There's a bit of entering in. I don't want to say to the sufferings with Christ, but certainly there could be a suffering in the sacrifices that we make of liberties for the sake of other people. And that's the extreme here. I mean, he's saying that's what it's supposed to be, that we're so serious that we're thinking about other people more than even we are thinking of ourselves. That's something different than you heard all day for sure out there. He says, whatsoever, verse 25, is sold in the shambles, that's the market of the day, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But if any man of them that believe not bid you to a feast, verse 27, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, yeah, eat. Don't ask any questions for conscience sake. You don't get carried away here. You go to someone's house, it's an unbeliever. First of all, I hope you notice here that that's not something that's forbid. As believers, you got to have contact without contamination. You can't totally like isolate yourself. I see some Christians get real stuffy. I see some Christians like, oh, they're in the world. I can't be friends with them. That my family, you know, they have beer at the dinners or whatever it would be. You know, I don't think that that's something that the Lord would have of us. Jesus was called friend of sinners. Jesus was called a wine bibber. A lot of the charges in the gospel against Jesus, he was such an enigma. They didn't know what to do with him, because he was hanging with those, the Pharisees, those the prostitutes, the outcasts. Like he would go and be with those people to minister to those people. So if your heart is pure and you're sincere in your endeavor, there isn't this, hey, you can't be with those. Here he's saying, when you are with these types of people, just don't ask if this meat that you're eating was offered to idols. Just, hey, it's got a nice marble to it. It's cooked perfectly. Praise the Lord and eat it. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. See, that's what he's saying. It's hard to, I don't know if you all have a hard time with Paul's writing. I sometimes think, well, why in the world is he saying this now? The earth is, so it takes time, I think, at least to piece it all together. That's what he's saying. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. So if you're eating something at an unbeliever's house, don't worry if it was offered to an idol. Just say grace and praise God for it and eat, and don't ask any questions so that your mind isn't all messed up from this. But if any man say unto you, verse 28, this is offered in sacrifice to idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Yes, yeah, so obviously. If you're with these people and they say to you, actually, we offer this to Zeus, or we offer this to whatever other god that we worship, okay, well, I don't want to eat this then because I'm a Christian and I don't want to be affiliated, bring myself into this type of activity. I don't know, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. He says, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, so honor the Lord. Conscience, I say, verse 29, not thy own, but of the other, for why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? So what he's saying there then is this, you can express your liberty that maybe you can't express in those people's presence, that it would stumble in a different space. So there's liberties that we have as Christians. Again, That's what he's moving through here, a series of limitations on liberties. There's liberties that you might have that you can't enjoy in front of certain people, but in the privacy of your own home, with a group of people that have a deeper walk with the Lord and understanding of who you are, yeah, there's an opportunity to have those liberties enjoyed so long as it's not sin. I don't know. There's pastor friends of mine that I know that they love O'Doul's. They like the taste of alcohol. They don't drink. They feel a conviction through scripture that elders, pastors aren't to drink alcohol. So they don't even want to give an appearance of evil. So maybe at the church baptism, the pastor doesn't show up with a six pack of O'Doul's. But maybe in his basement when he's watching a game, he has an O'Doul, non-alcoholic beer with his, you know, his family members or friends who perhaps wouldn't stumble over. The point here is simply that. Don't get so carried away where you're obsessing now over making sure that you're like some safety or something, blowing the whistle on everything. And some of this is just common sense. Conscience, I say, not thy own, but of the other. That's why my liberty is judged. Why else would it be judge of another man's conscience? But if I'm at the privacy of my home or somewhere where I can do these things, well, then that's different. Now here's what it really boils down to for anybody who right now in their mind is thinking, all right, I could do this thing that I've been wondering if I can do it. Watch this, how we close. The fireworks go off. Because he says this, here you go. You need a checklist of what you can do, what you can't do. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? In the area of liberties, verse 30, here you go. If you need a checklist. Can I honestly say thank you, Lord, for this? What's your liberty? I don't know. You tell yourself between you and Jesus what your liberty is, what you're entertaining right now in your mind. Something that you've been wondering, yeah, can I do, what's the limitation here? Okay, well, here's a checklist, the Lord says. Can you honestly say thank you, Lord, for this? Thank you, Jesus, for this liberty and enjoy it? All of a sudden now it's like, oh man, that's tricky. 31 says, whether therefore you eat or whether therefore you drink or whatever you do, here's the supreme test. Do it to the glory of God. Can I do this and give thanks? That's verse 30. Can I do this, verse 31, for the glory of God? Is what I'm doing and expressing my liberty bringing glory to God? Which, by the way, if you didn't listen to anything I said all night, that's what you were created for, to bring glory to God. You weren't created to bring glory to yourself. So this here, this verse, verse 31, I believe is a summation of everything that we've been studying for weeks. It's the rule of thumb. The issue here is not, well, is there a scripture pastor on this that tells me I can't or that it's a liberty? No, the issue is this. Hey, if I do this, whatever it is, does it bring glory to the Lord? If it doesn't, I should think twice. Don't you feel convicted? I'm having a hard time like moving to that. I need a seal off for a moment. Because I think of my own life, well, geez. I think I've been abusing some liberties. There's got to be some limitations to our liberties. Can I give thanks? Does it glorify the Lord? I'm created to glorify the Lord. I don't think this is about legalism. If you're judging me in your heart saying, you sound awfully legalistic, I don't think I sound awfully legalistic. I think that this is not so much about legalism as it is wisdom. Because that's what Paul said in verse 15. I speak as to wise men, chapter 10. So I think this is more about wisdom. You want to know what else I think this is more about? Lines of demarcation. I think it's simply this. What table do you want to sit at? And I don't think the church in 2022 in America really wants to hear this. I think that we've really mastered in our nation, in this season of human history, the idea of having Jesus and keeping my sinful lifestyle. It's paraded all over social media. It's talked about, the Bible and our Jesus, by celebrities whose lifestyles are completely contrary to what the Bible is black and white on. So for me here, I believe that this is not really something that is legalistic. It's wisdom, and it's a challenge of, Lord, I'm not sure which table I really want to sit at. But here's the bottom line. You can't sit at both. So the whole notion that you can, the Bible says you're wrong. God is a jealous God. Don't provoke him to anger. There's limitations on your liberties. Can I give thanks? Does it glorify the Lord? That's the supreme test. Here's the bottom line, verse 32. Give no offense. Now watch this. To the Jews, to the Gentiles, or to the church of God. That's how the Lord divides the world. Three groups. Only three groups. The church, Israel, and the world. And all three groups, God says to you and God says to me, give no offense to them. Don't be a stumbling block to them. Forgo anything that keeps a person from clearly seeing Jesus, if you're serious. You know how many calls we got yesterday about the masks? And praise God, we didn't do anything too quickly. How far am I willing to go as a light? What are we here for? To be light and salt to the world. Either you believe what Jesus said or you don't. We are left here to be light and salt to the world. What can I do to enhance my light to the world and to be a more savory salt to the world? When doing it, whatever it is, does it do that or does it dull my saltiness and dull my brightness? That's the question. Because here's what we're being told. Don't give an offense to anybody. Jews, unbelievers, the world, Gentiles, or the church. If anything that you do keeps somebody from seeing Jesus, well then shame on you, shame on me. If they look at you and you're doing something that is a quote unquote liberty and you're abusing it now because there's limitations on liberties. It's not a sin. But now all of a sudden you're going for that liberty in such a way. Now they don't even want to hear what you have to say because they're already stumbled just at looking at you. And you say, well, that's their problem. Well, is it? I mean, the Bible's teaching something different tonight. I don't know if it is their problem. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm actually not sorry. I'm not going to apologize. I have to wrestle with these things too. I got an ego. I got pride. I got flesh. I got to battle with the very same things that you guys got to battle with. And I got to look at this and say, okay, Lord, either I give a hoot or I don't about what your word says. You could shut the book. You can leave the church. Say, I'll go to a different church. It doesn't teach so strictly. That's fine. I'm going to pick up next week in chapter 11, verse 2. I got no other leg to stand on besides the word of God. Bottom line, Paul says, you're not to give an offense to anybody when it comes to seeing Jesus. Verse 33, even as I please all men in all things, I'm not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many. Here's the sole purpose why I'm alive, so that people get saved. That they might be saved. And here's how he closes this thing. Don't turn your heads and look at the clocks. Listen to what he says, because this is a banging punchline. He says, be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. That's how he closes this whole thing. And that's the question that everybody should ask. Whatever you want to go out there doing tonight, tomorrow, into your weekend, your liberties, what's the limitations? Here it is, ready? Is what I'm about to do imitating Christ? Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. What I'm about to do, or watch this, what I'm not about to do because of my freedom, okay, is that attitude, is that action imitating Christ? Oh, geez. Now there's some serious thinking that needs to be done. Paul says, that's what dominates me, not what is Bishop so-and-so think, or congregation over here think, or this group of believers on Facebook think. No, what does Christ think? What would Christ do? That's what dominates me. That's what dominates me. I see all over, I see these tweets by some of these pastors that got a platform and they use it to talk about social things and they rally up a section of the body of Christ that feels a certain way politically or whatever it would be, and they get them on this, they get them all revved up and going, and everybody's retweeting and reposting about something that's going on. If we put that much energy in saving people, we gotta keep the main thing, and that's Christ and Christ crucified. Okay, Paul said, I'll shave my head. Paul said, I'll put ashes on my forehead. Paul said, I'll wear this attire. I'll be a part of this ritual if that allows me a platform to preach Jesus. And then I'll go the complete other way with this group over here. I'll do whatever I gotta do in realms that don't matter to reach people for Jesus. That's my story. So that's why we're doing what we're doing. Whatever we gotta do to reach people for Jesus. People in the church want me and other leadership to take a side on things, to take a stance on things. We're not gonna do it. Here's our side, here's our stance. We want Jews, Gentiles, and those who've gone to church but don't have a deep walk with the Lord to come closer to Jesus. That's the whole goal. And whatever we gotta do in the process that isn't compromising our walk with him, we're gonna do it. Because it's biblical. And we all got to kind of get off our high horse and what we think and what we believe or what we even deem that we know for the sake, right? Because knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Here, let me give it to you like this if you're not taking it. Love God and love people and then do whatever you want. And if we would seriously do that, then we wouldn't need the thousands of other commandments in the scripture. Love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And love people. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. God's image bearers. And then do whatever you want to do. Here's what you and I have to say. Lord, you've got to reduce me then to agape love. You've got to reduce me, Lord, to agape love. I don't want to be a hardship to people. That takes humility. I don't want to be a hardship to people. I want to be a stepping stone for them to get to Jesus. Liberties are liberties. Liberties are not sin. Don't mix the two. And there's limitations on your liberties. If you truly are mature in Jesus, it's not how much Bible verses you have memorized. It's not that you're in the seat on a Wednesday night. It's not that you put a check in the box. It's not that you call yourself a conservative Christian or whatever else. If you really want to be mature, Paul says, through the inspiration of God's Spirit, it's seeking to master these things. So much so that you can say to your friends, to your children, to your spouse, to whoever it is that you're discipling and ministering to, hey, mimic me as I mimic Christ. I'm not mimicking this superstar pastor, this guy that I follow, this politician, this person. I'm mimicking Jesus. Mimic. You want to know how it is to walk with Jesus? Follow me as I follow Christ. Think of it. Could you say to your kids, mom and dad? This is a way to really put this into perspective. Could you say to them, hey, pray like I pray? Hey, you're wondering, you're a teenager, you're wondering, what does it mean, do devotions? Watch me. What does it mean to worship the Lord? Watch me. What's it mean to not be a stumbling block to everybody else? Well, watch me. I mean, I think through those things and I think I got some work to do. I think through those things, not of the congregation I pastor, but of just my four kids that I got. And I think, Lord, I can't just say that to them. I'd have to justify a few things. Help me to want to get to a place where I can say, follow me as I follow Christ. Next week is only gonna be harder. So if you come back, then truly, like they just sang, he's a God of miracles. Let's pray. I mean, God, these things are tough. They are Lord, you are like stooping right down into the depths of our hearts. And you're making it really hard for us, Lord, to have a boast of excellency, of righteousness in and of ourselves. You're making it, Lord, you're making it almost impossible for any of us to feel really good about ourselves. But Lord, I'm thankful. You're so loving and kind. The challenge isn't abusive or demeaning or condescending, Lord. The challenge is soul-stirring. I mean, reading through your word, God, I want to do better for you. I want to care about not stumbling other people. I really do, Lord. My spirit is willing. My flesh is definitely weak. But my spirit is willing, Lord, to run the race harder for you. I don't want to be a castaway, Lord. I don't want to fall with the many. I want to stand with the few. And I pray for a congregation that I get the privilege to pastor. I pray for all of us here at this midweek study to the things we're wrestling with, to at least keep wrestling and to get before you and to allow you to speak further to our hearts to settle these things. What maturity this requires, God, to be a part of this number that Paul is recruiting here, a number of believers who says, I want to be this serious about the faith. So Lord, all the more as we see your return drawing nearer, we pray for that to arise within us, that we'd be so serious about it, Lord, not wanting to do anything, even if it's a liberty, God, not wanting to do anything that others can point to and say, that's why I'm not coming to Jesus. That's why I'm not going to that church. God, put it in our hearts to will. Put it in our hearts to do of what's your good pleasure. Just like Jesus only did the will of the Father, only did that which pleases the Father. Jesus, I pray for that same spirit and mentality within each of us. So we bless you, Lord, and we thank you for this time of study. We pray that we would now put a smile on your face with this closing song that we sing to you. And it's in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, all of God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. Let's stand and sing to the Lord.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.